News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Thank you indeed, Steph. Good morning. You're listening to News Talk Breakfast. Kieran Cuddihy and Shane Coleman with you on this June 26th. Happy Friday to you.
Beautiful day. Big Friday for me, Shane.
Big Friday for you. You're out of here. You are D-Mob happy. You've already signed off.
Sorry, have I said that? Is the mic
on? You know, we have another hour today.
Yeah, I have a couple of weeks off. Looking forward to it, though. I'm not sure how good the weather's going to be. A bit of a low hovering off the west coast on its way towards Kerry.
That might work out.
Hopefully it might work out for Micheál Martin.
Micheál Martin, biggest day, and he's had a long political career. First elected in 1989. This is probably the most important day in his, whatever it is, 31 years in politics.
One man in means another man out, though. So it could be the last day in office for now as Taoiseach for Leo Varadkar. What is his legacy? Has he been a good leader? Where does he sit amongst the pantheon of Taoiseach we've had down through the years? At 8:15, who else? Ivan Yates setting the alarm early today. He's going to give us his take. We'd love to hear yours in the meantime. 53106.
Comic Relief is going to make a splash tonight with a host of stars. Host Deirdre O'Kane will be telling us all about it at 22:09.
After 30 long years, 3 decades, almost as long as Micheál Martin has been struggling to get to the mountaintop, Liverpool have been struggling to return to it.
I just realised I miscalculated how long Micheál Martin was in politics there.
Liverpool are champions. Cop legend Ray Houghton, looking forward to this, is going to be telling us all what it means in about 20 minutes.
It is extraordinary. It took them so long to get back to the top of the mountain. But what a team they have at the moment. They really are impressive. Now, how worrying is... coronavirus cases are resurging in Europe as countries ease restrictions imposed to curb the spread of the disease, the World Health Organization has warned. For more, we're joined by David Navarro, World Health Organization Special Envoy on COVID-19 and Professor of Global Health at Imperial College London. David, as always, thanks indeed for joining us. How worrying is this trend? Or, look, I suppose, is it to be expected as countries leave restrictions?
Shane, thank you for the question. It is to be expected. And the key thing is how well different nations in Europe will deal with these resurgences. If they can be kept small, if they can be suppressed quickly, and if people can do everything possible to actually make them as little as possible, then it's going to be really fine. And that's going to be the new reality that I've talked about a bit before. It's being sure that we can get ahead of this virus by defending ourselves against it. But if we miss it, and if big outbreaks build up and health services get overwhelmed or residential care facilities start to get lots of people who are sick, then we've got a bigger problem. So it's really the knife edge situation now, and all will depend on just how well we manage these resurgences.
So the outbreaks we're seeing, obviously we'd love if there was no outbreaks and it was the whole thing went away, but that's not realistic. The outbreaks we're seeing are manageable at the moment, and the reaction of governments across Europe is good, is the right reaction to those outbreaks. Is that a fair description?
I think so. We're pretty satisfied with what we've seen happening in Germany, where there's been outbreaks that have to some extent been centered around food manufacturing plants. And then we've got also in Poland outbreaks linked to coal mining. And the response has been really strong and good. It's meant some localized movement restrictions, which has not made people very happy. But I think overall, everybody understands that in order to avoid massive lockdowns all over again, we have to be able to identify a problem and then deal with it locally, deal with it robustly, and then get on with life. But that's happening. Let's wait and see whether we can actually hold this and do it in more places as well. And there are other countries that are really struggling at the moment. So I think we're seeing that the value of doing this really well and quickly, because otherwise we'd get into a situation of huge outbreaks again.
That kind of micro decision making you're talking about, does that extend to international travel? A big debate going on here, which you may or may not be aware of, David, about whether we should end the 2-week quarantine. And what seems to be happening is there will be a green light given at some point in early July to travelling to certain countries that have very low incidence of coronavirus. There will be air corridors, if you like, or corridors between these countries. I'm at a loss, and I think a lot of people listening this morning are at a loss. Some of us have booked holidays. I have a holiday booked in Greece in late July. Yeah. Is it okay to go on those holidays? Or are you better saying, you know what, let's just park unnecessary international travel for this summer?
First of all, every one of us is going to have to get used to making micro decisions. I love that term. Can I please use it all
please
the time?
Please do, please do.
Shame. Shall I tell you why? Because we're having to feel our way into this. It's a whole new situation. We've never had anything like this before. So we're trying to work out about schools. We're having to work things out about holidays, even about being social. And so I would say for the time being, this is what it's going to be like. We will have to make each decision, perhaps being ready to change if we hear something that scares us. And then that will determine things. So if you're going to go to Greece for your holiday, seems to me a good idea. Just make sure you're keeping an eye on what's happening in the country coronavirus wise. As far as I know, Greece has been doing pretty well.
Okay. And look, it is about kind of personal responsibility. You can't expect people to make these decisions for you. Speaking of personal responsibility, the idea of wearing face masks, I've spoken to you about it before here, and I know you've spoken about how they can be a help in terms of tackling coronavirus. Our government has made a decision to make it mandatory now on public transport to wear masks, and they're mulling over the idea of making it mandatory in other indoor spaces like supermarkets. A lot of people here not wearing masks in supermarkets. Does the WHO have a view on that?
So WHO has been quite careful on this. The advice has very much been based on the science. What does a mask and wearing a mask do for transmission? And by the way, it's tough science, that one. There's still a lot of controversy. But I want to talk to you a bit my point of view on this, because so much depends on the individual. And I'll explain to you why I think this is important. If I have got COVID, I might not know I've got it. I might just have very mild symptoms, but I could be really infectious. And supposing I go into a supermarket and I happen to cough and there's a till assistant nearby and she gets affected by my cough, she gets the COVID, and then she goes home and she gives the COVID perhaps to her mum or something like that. Her mum's got diabetes, her mum gets sick and dies. This is entirely my fault. So I should be wearing a mask when I'm in contact with people whose job it is to serve me and who have to perhaps be in contact with 100 or 200 people in a day. We should be wearing masks wherever we're in close contact with other people, really, because it's a responsibility to them. And that applies to shops. It applies to public transport. It applies to any kind of facility where care is being offered. I know that there's a lot of anxiety that it's not really, in case of men, a manly thing to do to wear a mask. But I'm just going to say this is an important part of the whole puzzle. Wearing masks, keeping a bit of distance, protecting those who are most vulnerable, practicing really good hygiene. We've just got to do this because we've got to keep the level down.
David Nabarro of the World Health Organization, thanks indeed for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.